I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show for Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Always appreciate you listening. Coming in about an hour from now from Huntsville's WVNN and Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson. We do it on Mondays, but today we're doing it on Tuesday just because we didn't get to yesterday. So that's coming up in about an hour. Make sure you stay tuned for that. As always, 251-343-0106, the Ascension Technologies text line. You want to weigh in on anything we are talking about, that's how you do so. Joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest and friend of the program. He is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, State Senator Will Barfoot on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Oh, fine, Jeff. Now that we're getting towards the in the short rows of the session, I'm even better. Beautiful weather outside, and the sooner we get out, the better.
Yeah, you recover from Thursday night yet?
Yeah, Thursday night wasn't so bad. It was Friday morning that
well, fair enough.
I think we went into about, we were close to about 2:30 on Friday morning. But yeah, Thursday, all day Thursday and into the wee hours of Friday morning was pretty rough.
Well, let's start here. Part of that rough patch there, I suppose, you know, you guys in Montgomery feel like you got a little shortchanged here with the budgets. And every part of the state tends to think that. But what's interesting to me, I never really thought about this. I think it was your colleague, Senator Chambliss, who made this point in one of the committees, is like, you know, since state government's in Montgomery, so much money goes into the economy there. But you forget, or I don't, but some people may not realize, there's other things going on in and around Montgomery and the river region that sometimes doesn't get short shrifted because the way the rest of the state looks at it, well, we're already putting this big investment into your districts. What are you complaining about? And you miss out. And I guess the big thing here was this water park deal, but it maybe that's been a problem you've had to grapple with in your last several years as a senator?
Well, you know, it is, but it was kind of highlighted this time. So, you know, it was originally put in the governor's education supplemental appropriations to the education budget. And I think that's about tapping at the door of $3 billion, 2.8 something. And I didn't have a whole lot to say specifically about the Maxwell Gateway project's been referred to as the water park, but the Maxwell Gateway project, you know, in the education supplemental budget. And the reason that is because, you know, everything got stripped out. I mean, there were other things were there, Mobile Airport and some things that may not have had the education connection, or it was a little harder to determine what the education connection is. So I didn't, you know, once all those got stripped out in the Senate, I didn't have a big fuss or argument about that, at least then. And you start looking, though, at a map, and evidently, I mean, this, you know, I haven't put pen to paper on it, but about 84% of all the education supplemental budget went Birmingham North. I mean, that's a sizable percentage of that $2.8 billion that went Birmingham North. And so, you know, that came back to us, and, you know, we ultimately concurred on that. Some of those projects that were originally in the supplemental education supplemental found themselves in the general fund supplemental budget, which is significantly less than what the ETF had to spend. You know, and I think, you know, a couple of my colleagues thought the same thing, that maybe they were more appropriate there, but at the same time, you know, they had to balance whether or not those are rational expenditures. The supplemental general fund supplemental budget came out that there were a couple of projects that were included down around your neck of the woods in Mobile, but the Montgomery, you know, Maxwell Gateway project was not. So we had a chance to be on the floor and talk about the validity of the project itself and what it meant to not only Montgomery, but the river region, the state as a whole, as it relates to Maxwell Air Force Base being there, and the quality of life and the ability to hopefully put some language in there and some funding that would the military would look favorably on from a quality of life standpoint from all its military members, spouses, and civil servants.
Well, tell me something. Do you think it getting branded a water park, and I don't know if this was intentional or it just happened to be that way, but do you think that hurts your cause a little? Because the perception being, well, this is state tax dollars for some water park, boondoggle, and that kind of, if anything, it turned public opinion against it, but it also made some of your colleagues, you know, very skeptical of it. Maybe if you had to do it over again, you would have put more of an emphasis on it being the quote-unquote the Maxwell Gateway Project, right?
Yeah, no question. I think there's some articles that were written in the newspaper early on, and why or how, you know, let's just say that, you know, they were written. And they termed it the water park, and they beat up on it, those articles did, because it was money coming out of the education supplemental appropriations. It is more than a water park. Let's, you know, and quite honestly, you know, it took me a while to figure that out. It's not just something that's on the side of the road here today, gone tomorrow. It is a major capital investment in the city of Montgomery, the river region. And as I said, it does benefit Montgomery. The water park itself is a, you know, we'll have Olympians that come to train there. It's a fast-moving water park. We've got already volunteer fire departments from around the state that will come and train there to simulate that, you know, search and rescue, fast-moving water. And that's just a piece of the puzzle. That's just a cornerstone. The water park, the White Water Park itself, is just a cornerstone of a much larger project over there. It's an economic development. I suspect there will be hotels that will come in. We'll have, you know, dining areas there. So it is really a kind of an economic development and quality of life issue located in the capital city. And, you know, I'm hopeful that now that we were able to put $5 million into that project, that maybe the governor will see fit to fully fund that on an executive amendment.
Joined by State Senator Will Barfoot here on the program. And you said something else I want to touch on real quick before we move on, but the amount of money going Birmingham North, is this like a one-time anomaly, you think, or is this just a trend? Because you do look at leadership in those chambers, and an outsized proportion of it is North Alabama, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's always fascinating to watch. Now, you know, before you were in the Senate, the big fight over the BP oil spill money, really, I mean, there was a schism that was obvious the last several years, and we're kind of getting past that. But do you think that it's just because the power seems to have moved much further north in the state? Or, like I said, could this just be just the way it worked out this time?
Well, I'd say I think the first thing to consider is that, you know, I've mentioned this on the Senate floor, that when Uncle Billy dies, and if Uncle Billy doesn't have any money, you don't have an internal argument. When Uncle Billy dies and you go to probate his estate, sometimes that's when the knives come out. And we do have a lot of money had a lot of money in the supplemental, especially in the ETF. I mean, more money than we probably honestly, you know, should have. I mean, that's the taxpayers' money. And so there was certainly a folks who took the position that we've got to be very conservative in our approach of using this money. And, you know, just because it's, you know, the old, what did Ronald Reagan say about Congress in the early 80s, that they're spending money like, he would say they're spending money like a bunch of drunken sailors, but it'd give sailors a bad name. And so, you know, there was that thought process is, hey, a lot of this is federal money. A lot of this is one-time money. So I don't know that this is going to be an ongoing battle or, you know, geographic battle. I certainly hope it's not. I mean, we need to work, you know, as a whole Senate and House and legislative body to make sure all the the needs are met, and to the extent we can, some of the wants. But I think it was more difficult this time because of the amount of money that was available.
Senator, you had a big legislative victory. Well, we won't, I guess it's the gang bill, but you had to change, take the word gang out of it, but really fighting kind of these, like not like organized crime in a Hollywood sense, but to cut down on some of this. And you have a real epidemic in this state, but talk about that, what you had to do to get that bill across the finish line.
Yeah, sure. So, as you referred to it as the gang bill initially, that the title of that was changed. Shakespeare said a rose by any other name still smells the sweet, still accomplishes what we were trying to do, and changed from gangs to criminal enterprise. That was a bill that I'd worked with the Attorney General's office on for several months. Representative Treadway is going to has the identical bill in the House, and we're hopeful that the Senate bill, now that we've got it out of the Senate, will move and the governor will sign that into law. It did a couple of things. Three main points to it is that if you are a member of a criminal enterprise and commit a crime for which a felony for which that you're prosecuted and found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, certainly don't change the standard there, and it's proven that you are a member of that criminal enterprise, then, for instance, a C felony would be punished and enhanced to a B sentence. A B felony, if you're convicted of that, would be enhanced. The penalty portion would be to that of an A. So there's an upgrade in penalties depending on which classification of crime that you're convicted of if you're proven to be a member of those criminal enterprises. And then the second thing is that if you have a firearm during the commission of a crime that benefits a criminal enterprise, there's a mandatory consecutive 5-year prison sentence on there just simply for having that firearm while you have, if you've been found guilty of committing that underlying criminal act. If you brandish it, pull it, you know, show it, there's a mandatory 7-year consecutive sentence on there. And then if you use that firearm during the commission of that crime, then there is a mandatory 10-year consecutive sentence on there. So it really is getting very tough on individuals that, you know, seek to commit crimes, not one-off crimes, but crimes to benefit a gang or a criminal enterprise type entity, and who use those firearms during the commission of those crimes. And then the third thing that did was there's already an automatic transfer. If you're 16 years or older, a minor, but at least 16 years of age for certain crimes, this would also mean that if you're 16 years or older as a minor, that there would be an automatic transfer pursuant to the legislation that we have, so that you're in adult court if you commit a crime that, is with a firearm for the benefit of criminal enterprise, or if you commit, say, for instance, a C-level crime that's enhanced as a B under this section or that section of the bill. So it is truly a potential game changer for law enforcement, for prosecutors who see, obviously, you know, it on a daily basis, and we hear about it occasionally in the news. So.
Well, and you know, the gang problem has really, really, I think, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm more aware and paying attention to it more, but it seems like we're kind of at a place right now where it's grown, it's become more of a problem for the state, and not just in our bigger cities, but I mean, look at what happened in Dadeville, and the word on the street was that was tied to some kind of gang activity, but that is happening in a lot of small towns. Like we've never really seen anything like this before. We have rival gangs, rival municipalities or whatever. But, you know, is that your perception that it's becoming more and more of an issue?
No question about it. You know, and certainly you still have the better organized, well-maintained gangs of like the 1980s. They're still out there. But you're starting to see more, you know, groups of folks from one area of a municipality or city that are, you know, arguing with another group, and they may not have the same bloods or crips or, it may just be, you know, kind of a local neighborhood type gang, and those are extending outside the boundaries of the larger cities in the state. You know, you've got, you know, what happened over in Dadeville, and I don't know that, you know, certainly that investigation and prosecution is still going on, so I don't know where that lands in the spectrum that we're talking about. But I will tell you, for instance, there was a you know, shooting a month or so ago here in Montgomery, and I happened to have the audio. It was 32 seconds long, and during that 32 seconds, I think there were 271 or 281 shell casings that were found in one area. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not, yeah, it made me mad because I saw my girlfriend with him or your wife with him or something. I mean, that is, there were multiple weapons being fired at each other, who knows over what, and, you know, but that's the type of activity that I think we need to try to address. And I think this bill does exactly that.
Last question, and we'll get you out of here on this. But can you talk a little bit about, you know, we're passing a lot of laws and to kind of crack down on crime. What do you think? I mean, where are we going to put these people? What do you think about the progress being made on these prison facilities? And you know, it's been relatively quiet this session about that, but there's still a lot of questions out there about that. Are we in okay shape here, you think?
Well, first of all, I supported the construction new prisons. I think one thing we have to keep in mind, though, is that, you know, there will not be a bed increase once these two prisons are built if certain facilities are shut down after that. And I think the new prisons are, you know, important. It's instead of the dorm-like facilities, it's more two-man cells, and I think that's important on a variety of different levels to cut down with some violence and workforce as it relates to, you know, DOC employees, helps them out, helps them manage that. But make no mistake about it, you know, we need additional space. Now, I will say this, and I forget the exact numbers, it is head scratching in some regards that we've gone from 600 and some odd million dollars per prison to close to $1 billion, 900 and something million dollars for one of those. So pretty significant increase. I mean, certainly, you know, workforce and material shortage and the economy, and you would expect some of that, but I don't know why we're at projections that we're at now. If we were way under, or the folks who said we could get it done for 600 and something million, if they were just uninformed, or if there's some other things going on. So I'm certainly not happy about that price tag. And, you know, we'll see at the end, we'll be able to do some forensics of that, I'm sure, to figure out why the increase is what it is.
Senator, you've been very generous with your time. Best of luck these next few days, and we will talk again soon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you. That was State Senator Will Barfoot. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.